Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Now and Then with Glenn. My name is Glenn Williams. I'm the general manager of Boston Neighborhood Network, and I'm really, really proud to be here tonight, this afternoon, or whenever it really is and where you're watching us. I do want to take a couple of seconds to talk just a little bit about Boston Neighborhood Network. We are the City of Boston's television and radio stations, and we are here for you. There's an opportunity for you to come and do your own programming on the radio or on television. It's also an opportunity for nonprofits to come and really talk about their mission statement and kind of get what's going on in their in their communities. So please feel free to look us up and give us a call and ask to come by and take a look at what we're doing and look around. We're absolutely open for anything anybody wants to do on the television and the well. I shouldn't say that, but you know, you can get away with a lot, but right now we're just looking for some more fresh faces and fresh ideas. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Like I said, this is Now and Then with Glenn, and I'm very, very proud to have a couple of very, very important people with the city. They're with the City of Boston's Office of Emergency Management, and Kyron Howard.
Kyron Owens.
Kyron Owens. Sorry, sir.
No problem.
Still very important. And Nancy Smith.
Yeah.
How are you? Thank you guys for coming in and spending a couple of minutes with us. You know, when you hear of emergency management, you think of the bombing at the marathon or the pandemic, and there's all of these things, but it is much further reach than that, isn't there?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
What kind of things else are you dealing with over there at the...
I mean, so in Boston, we have a lot of threats and hazards, and our office takes an all-hazards approach. But some that you may come to mind is flooding. So when we experience significant storms, you may see flooding at Morsi Boulevard or in the North End, the Seaport area. And so even East Boston sometimes, they have some, you know, threats and stuff over there. So we really try to make sure that people are informed about steps that they can take to be prepared. Cybersecurity is another emerging threat, which most people will probably experience on their cell phone when you get that scam likely call or things of that nature. And so we just want to make sure that residents of Boston, visitors of Boston have the information they need to be prepared in the community.
Well, I'm sure that I'm positive that we appreciate that. It's not like there's a big siren that goes off, is there?
No, but Alert Boston does go out.
Alert Boston. you guys have. I was on the city's webpage the other day, and I was looking around, and there is a place to sign up so that you can get, you know, there's this happening or there's this going on or and that seems like. How is that working for everybody, Nancy?
I think it's working pretty good. When we're out in the community and just explaining to people the importance, and we're not a blog. So that's the key thing, because a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to have just, you know, miscellaneous information. I said, no, when you hear from us, it's a serious business.
Yeah, there's something serious going
business.
On.
Yeah, no, you know. Sure. And I think, Kyron, I don't know if you want to also kind of mention about our office in the UAC, how we support the other region, bigger, you know, later on, to just talk about, like, how... We're not just the City of Boston, it's a regional.
It is a regional. How big is it, New England?
So it's the Metro Boston Homeland Security Region, which features eight other cities and towns aside from Boston. So you have like Brookline, Somerville, Quincy, Everett.
Oh, all our neighbors.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think that that's important. I don't think that an emergency necessarily stops up Washington Street towards Dedham, you know?
No, for sure.
You know, I can imagine that there's kind of an alert. Give me an idea. Give me a sense of the kinds of emergencies we might be talking about.
So let's take a step back.
Okay, please.
Let me introduce the office to you.
Yes. Right? Okay, please do. That's a good way to do it.
So the Office of Emergency Management is the fiduciary for the Metro Boston Homeland Security Region. And so basically... With those nine cities and towns, right, we go after the Urban Area Security Initiative Grant, also known as the UAC Grant, which over three grant cycles is about $40 million for the region. And that helps to fund different goal areas that are aimed in preparedness and making sure that we if there is an emergency, we're able to respond to it, mitigate it, recover from it, but also to take measures to help maybe prevent some of those impacts from happening.
Okay.
When different emergencies could emerge that impact our residents. The other benefit of being a region is if something's happening in Boston, it's most likely going to be impacting these cities and towns. And so because all of our resources from each of those cities and towns are funded through this UASI grant, right, we're able to also share those resources.
Okay.
So if there was a bomb truck that was bought through the UASI grant in Boston, and let's say Somerville had an incident, but they didn't have a bomb truck, they can call Boston and say, hey, you know, can we leverage this?
When you say bomb truck, you're talking about someone who will report to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a truck full of bombs.
No, correct.
You cats got me nervous here.
No, for sure.
Those are some of the situations, though. You know, I mean, if you hear of a threat or you know that there's some kind of issue that could be going on, there's all kinds of people mad at each other, you know, so mm-hmm. there could be these kind of things. So it's not just bank robberies. You guys don't call me up and say there's a bank in Somerville being robbed.
No. We want to let you know about major emergencies that are happening within the city that, you know, may impact the neighborhood or, you know, plethora of people where we need to, you know, try to divert that.
Right. Nancy, where does the information come from?
So the information that comes from the Alert Boston side is being drawn from our planning division, from also information that's coming in from storms, and then they make a decision. Like when we do the emergency for the city, when the mayor makes an announcement.
Yeah.
So when you hear that voice, that's Chiron on there.
On my phone.
On your phone, yes.
Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's this thing called CERT, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important that the citizens of the Commonwealth know that there is an opportunity for them to not just draw the shades.
Yeah. So the Community Emergency Response Teams has been around since 1985.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people on the West Coast are more familiar with it. It was actually designed and built and developed by a fire chief who saw the need that civilians needed to be more aware and how they could actually help the fire department. So over the years, we like to say that this particular region, New England, has been very fortunate in the sense of, like, not having so many of the outwardly hazards that really push people to
forest fires and swamp, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, but it's happening. And what has happened is that, I'll give you an example, like New York is one of our gold standards on the East Coast. New York has had their CERT team for 20 years. They celebrated their CERT team by lighting up the Empire State Building last year in their colors. And they had over 320 deployments, and that included planned and unplanned. So bringing it a little home closer to New England, I like to talk about Brookline. Brookline has had their CERT team for 19 years. Boston had their CERT team under Mayor Menino. And then something happened where funding, and so it kind of disappeared. And then when Mayor Walsh came into office, our chief Benford, he said that he wanted to bring back the CERT team. And so what does that look like? We've been planning this for 2 years, literally. And I'm talking about from infrastructure all the way from the bottom all the way up to make sure that we were bringing something that would be manageable and achievable for the community. And that meant, like, finding platforms that allowed a more equity base. And so a lot of the CERT teams that are in the New England region, when you go to their trainings, it's usually on a Saturday and a Sunday. And it's like 8 hours all day Saturday, 8 hours all day Sunday. So when we did our focus group, you know what that happened? They were like, no way.
Let's try to change
just
that.
Just try to change that. And so looking at the model that New York had, New York has their evening CERT teams for training. And what they do is they rotate into the different boroughs. But they, you know, they've done this very well, right? And so one of the other modules that came out that was really well received was a portal platform that comes from out of Utah. And what it allowed people to do was to take 12 hours online. You can do it anytime. And what this was doing was actually increasing the knowledge base, all right? Because becoming a CERT member is a big commitment. It's literally 26 hours of training.
Yeah, right? Should be.
Okay. For some people, they're like, well, that's a lot. But what we found was that people were able to go in, and we've had some folks who successfully have come back with some of the most beautiful things to say about the portal. Because what happens is that you take a person that has, like, no background in this, and you're bringing them into an intersection of a lot of things, from preparedness, prevention, mitigation, response, and recovery. That is what you're bringing them into, but as a volunteer. So they go in, you take the 12 hours, let's just say, okay, and you, it's 3 o'clock, Glenn, you want to take a unit 5. Okay, I'm ready. So now what we've done is we are now ready to bring Glenn in from April to June for the in-person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because now we're going to do the 16-hour plus with you. And the reason why we had to take
on 16... Saturday and Sunday?
What we did was we balanced it out.
Right.
We allowed to have three different types of classes. We have a day class, and then we have an evening class, and then we have a Saturday class. All right? And what's uniquely positioned is this last year we were very fortunate to work with a group called Mass Gathering, Art of Mass Gathering, and they go out into the national organization, and they look at festivals to help them become more, I can't use the word, just more,
that's okay.
Okay, it's more, in order to be more feasible for access and functional needs is first.
Oh, okay, yep.
And so their assessment is also to look at how we are now soft targets.
Yes.
So they get this funding. They came in. We got to work with a partnership with Berklee School of Music, College Music School, and also our Disability Commission.
Oh.
And so they came out with folks that work in the Disability Commission, and we're out evaluating different parts of the festival. But what uniquely we did was we had a 40x40 tent that allow people to drop by and learn CPR anytime.
Okay.
Stop the bleed.
Yeah.
And also Narcan.
Oh, very good. Let me ask you before you get too far. Am I certified after that?
You're certified in
CPR. For,
not this particular one. This is just CPR anytime.
Okay.
But the group that provides the training, we can talk to them about, you know, you're going further with them because it's Boston
right.
EMS there.
What about all the other classes and stuff? You know, if I there was something else that we'd be going to talk about first to respond.
Yeah, Until Help Arrives.
What?
Until Help Arrives.
Until Help Arrives.
Further, yeah.
You know, now, like, if I come across one of these things and I've gone through one of your classes and all of your training and what have you, and I start CPR on somebody, I'm certified and I know that I'm not really supposed to give it up until I get tagged out by somebody else who's certified.
So you did take the class before.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And one of the things that has happened is that you're not certified by us, but what you are learned is the knowledge base.
Yes.
Okay, which is very important.
Those 10 minutes are very important.
Very important, mm-hmm. Right, very important. So I wanted to finish on with how we got to do this program.
Yes.
So basically, we're across the in this huge fence, and one of the ladies had said to me, she said, Nancy, and she's in a wheelchair, and she says, when are you going to do the program for me, and what can I do as a CERT member? And I sat there, and I said, well, you know, I said, I got you covered, because FEMA is a whole community. That's what we do, and so we did programming during COVID, and we just need to kind of change a few things. But as I started talking with her more and more about having a special course specifically with access and functional needs, we create an advisory board because we have folks down in New Jersey who have a whole CERT team that's 45 people that are deaf. So now we have this advisory group that meets every Thursday. We have a woman who is blind. She is the first blind person to graduate from Mass Maritime.
Very cool.
We have another gentleman who is from the islands, who is also on our advisory board. So that class is going to be a whole nother level for us because we're pushing to use all the devices that we need to get everyone up, right? Okay, so that class is the one that's from 10 to 12 noon. And then we have the next class that's in the evening, which is a 6 to 8, and that's gonna be hosted out of People's Baptist Church. Thank you very much, we're so happy.
Gonna throw it in there?
Yes, gotta give you a plug. And then our big lift is the one on Saturday, which is gonna be at the Bowling Building, and it's a 3-month program. It's in April, May, and June, and they will be there from 9 to 1:30.
That's fantastic. You know, just to hear you talk about the inclusionary of it all, about making sure that everybody who wants to be able to help wants to be able to know that they can be part of the solution if something does go wrong or something happens, that they're prepared and ready to step in, you know? But Mr. Owens, the thing that I saw that was very important with you is the message. Mm-hmm. And how many languages did you say you get it out of?
So with Alert Boston, and for those who don't know, that's the city's emergency mass notification system.
Yeah.
And so that will alert you by phone call, email, or text message, letting you know about the emergency that's impacting the city, what resources are available, and what steps you can take to protect you and your loved ones.
Yeah.
And that message can be delivered in about 11, and it can be delivered in 11 different languages
to make it accessible to all. You know, and I think that that's an important thing for people to recognize and understand that we're talking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not only are we talking to them, but we're including them in being able to be the source of help. You know, and how important that is. I'm proud of the woman in a wheelchair who came up to say, "What about me?" You know, it's so important.
She's actually becoming a trainer.
That's great.
She's going to become a trainer. I have actually, we created a, inside of this program, we've created a system to have community members become trainers because I can't do it all by myself, right?
Right, right.
And so once you create an army of trainers, then you have the program that will have life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing. So that's I think I have 8 community members that are actually in training, and we're doing a fast track. So they are learning the program, plus they're also learning how to be a trainer at the same time.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's
pretty
great.
Excited.
You know, okay, Nancy, you've been at this for a while.
Yes, I have. I've been not with CERT for a while, but I've been with Emergency
Managers.
Yeah, we're black managers. We're black emergency managers. Meet us.
That's
you don't
why
wake
you're
up
here.
You don't wake up in the morning.
And I just want to also shout out Chief Shumaine Benford, who came in the office, I believe it was in October of 2018 until present day. And he's really been the heart of the office, and he's really, you know, worked hard to diversify the office.
That's great.
To always make sure that we're thinking about our most vulnerable populations and making sure that everything we're doing, you know, definitely takes an equity lens approach to it. So definitely a huge shout out to him.
Well, that's great. When someone comes in and he's rubbing their hands together, you know something's going to happen, you know, and it's great to have somebody that has that kind of commitment and, you know, that strength, that inner strength that they have to get something fixed, and this is the route to take.
I think it's
really, really important. Let's talk just a little bit about what is expected of the team, of the CERT team. I mean, is there a point in which you say, wait, you know, we'll get not people more qualified, but there's a limit. Okay, someone's fallen down the stairs at the post at the train station. You jump in there and you can help the best you can. Don't move them and all of that kind of stuff because these people aren't trained as medical.
Exactly. So there's a piece where we always make sure to let people know that they're not being self-deployed. You will never be self-deployed. But you as a human being, and you see someone fall, you're going to try to help them.
You move right away.
Yeah, you're going to move right away. Like, you know, but for our programming, We will actually be the ones who will self-deploy you from our office. And what that actually means is that, say, I'm going to give us a planned event. We're going to make it a planned event. There's going to be a parade, and they've reached out to us and say, hey, do you guys have some volunteers that could come? So we sent out a message. The volunteers, who people are available, they let us know. Then we orchestrate the deployment of them going out. Now, what's wonderful about this deployment from the city, and this was another thing with building infrastructure, people who were deployed under us properly, they have $200,000 worth of coverage for them when they're out. No. Most volunteers don't have that program.
Wow.
So you have to thank the chief.
To deploy people, is that for a preventative measure, or is it like a parade? You know, you think there might be something, it'd be nice to have a couple of people in the area. Or if I got certified and was passed the whole thing, am I going to be able to say, would I get a text saying if you're in the area of Central Square?
No, it will not be that way.
Okay.
It will not be that way. It will be very organized, because anything that's unplanned is going to have its own hierarchy of movement.
Right.
Something that is planned is a little bit, of course, is planned. So we have that time frame to find out how many volunteers will be needed.
Right.
And that. But for the unplanned events, that's a whole nother story that we can, you know, talk about later as we do trainings.
Can I invite you guys back?
For sure. Yeah.
You know, I think, because remember when I told you half an hour was going to disappear?
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yes.
But I'm so proud and happy that you're going to stick around and be with our news team in a couple of minutes, do a couple more things. I want to thank you very much both for coming in. I really do appreciate it. But let's get some PSAs going. Let's get some kind of things that we can run on the station, and maybe get you cats to come in once a month or something to talk. I'm putting you on the spot.
That.
I know.
No, but
I think that it's
important. We're right down the street, right?
Yep.
Well, I think that it's an important enough thing that, and I think that, you know what this will do? This kind of conversation will make people say, oh, you know, I'm kind of glad that's around the corner from, you know, that there's that possibility that this kind of thing could happen. I'm kind of proud of the fact that my Bostonians are taking care of each other. Right.
No, for sure. Exactly. And it takes all of us.
It does take all of us. Thank you so much for being here.
Sir.
I really do appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
And let you and I keep the conversation going, okay? So that we can get back at it. Listen, gang, thanks an awful lot for being with us Now and Then with Glenn. It's a pleasure to get out of the office downstairs and get an opportunity to come up here and mispronunciate people's names. I'm going to keep the cameras rolling because I have no idea what he's going to do. No, I'm only kidding. Thank you very much for tuning in with us today, and we'll be running this a bunch of times. So telephone number for people to call.
I think our email
is oem@boston.gov.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that in a lower third a couple of times during the show so people can copy it down.
Okay.
With a telephone and a website.
Well, the website will be boston.gov/emergency.
That'll do it, boston.gov/emergency. Listen, thank you everybody for being here. Really appreciate it. Go out there, do something awful for yourself, and please be safe in the city. We'll see you next time, okay?